I think that I posted it on the chat with the title Pesach 22:2, Struggle, Salvation, and How Jews Don't Give Up, or something like that, or Don't Get Over It. But what I would have titled it, if I didn't think it would be like a little bit too pushing the envelope, hold on a second, I gotta get my story sheet up, was Jews Don't Get Over It, How National Salvation Becomes National Obsession. That's what I actually would have called it. Hi, Ayala, connecting to audio still. Good, so let's talk about that, okay? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, the point of Pesach, or the central mitzvah of Pesach, especially Leil HaSeder, hi, Ayala, is this Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? The telling over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, this mitzvah gets so much screen time other than just Leil HaSeder in the life of a Jew, right? So, okay, I know a lot of you have your videos off over here, so, but I still expect you to participate and or write in answers. Thanks, Ayala. that wasn't a comment on you. Okay, so say it out loud or write an answer, right? When do we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Just in our daily lives. It comes up all the time, more than any other historical event in the history of the Jewish people, right? More than anything about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, more than Masa Bereishis, more than, you know, the Mabul, right? We talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time. So when in our daily lives does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim come up, besides for just Leila Seder?
Davening.
Good. Davening where? Kiddush, good. Kiddush, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So actually, I thought we did, and then I went into Kiddush and I couldn't find it, Eliana. So like, you'll tell me, maybe I missed something. But like, you're onto something, and we're going to get to it. Don't worry. Okay, but I went to Kiddush, and I was like, this actually doesn't talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Eliana, you're right, because Shavuos, one of the justifications of the mitzvah of Shavuos is Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're going to get there, right? But davening also, right? We say it in Shema. We say it in Kriya Shema, Lamita. We say it in Mariv and like MSV Yatziv. We say it in Az Yashir. Where else do we say it? So we have davening, we have Kriya Shema, we have Kiddush, sort of. Benching, good, right? Benching. So again, just all the time in kind of our daily lives, we're encountering this thing called Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, we're going to see. So in a way, it's not just like a bounded mitzvah for this time of year. It's like, in a certain way, it's like a national obsession. We're always talking about it, okay? And we're going to talk about kind of why we're always talking about it, or part of the lesson that talking about it is supposed to instill in us. And we're going to take, again, a little bit of a broader approach than just being bounded in Pesach and the Haggadah, okay? Fine. So just to, I don't usually do this, but just to say the moral of the story up front, okay? I'm going to tell you guys like an experience that I had, and I want you guys to either like give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, those of you who are on your computers but don't have your camera on. Okay, if you've had this experience before. I was going through a hard time. It was actually like an extremely hard time. And I was talking to somebody who I thought would be like part of my support system here, okay? It was someone who had experienced the same thing that I had experienced in a little bit of a different way. And I'd been speaking to her for like a while about it, like over a course of time. And at some point she said to me, you know, I'm doing really well. I think I'm over it. Did anyone ever have that experience? Of like struggling with somebody, and then the other person says to you, I think I'm over it. And you're just like, holy cow, I am not over this. In fact, like being over this was not a thing that I ever could have said about this kind of thing, that I got over it. Did anyone ever have that happen to them? Give me a thumbs up. Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, it's unpleasant because it's sort of jarring where you feel like, is this something that I'm supposed to be getting over, right? How do we relate to these cycles of struggle and salvation that are actually happening all the time in our lives, right? Yetzias Mitzrayim is this national story of struggle and salvation where we were all slaves and then we were all freed, right? But our lives always go through these cycles of struggle and salvation, right? We could be single and then we get married and then we're struggling with having kids and then we have kids and then we're struggling with raising our kids and then we raise our kids and then our kids are trying to get married. Okay, besides we're just the marriage thing, we started with the Shiloh crisis, we got to put that in somewhere, right? But again, those kinds of cycles happen all the time, and something that we're struggling with, we encounter salvation, but then a new struggle crops up, sometimes right on the heels, and then we have salvation and a new struggle crops up, okay? And that's part of what we're going to learn in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is, as Jews, how do we relate to that cycle of that struggle and salvation and struggle and salvation and struggle and salvation? And basically, you know, in those conversations that we can have with people, which hopefully won't happen too often, where it's like, what is our relationship with our struggle once salvation comes? Are we getting over stuff? Are we just like, I got over it, I'm past it? Like, okay, again, you guys know that I'm doing this Shidduch Crisis Initiative thing. So there was a guy that I interviewed. Thanks for turning on your video, Carrie. There was a guy that I interviewed a while ago, and I wanted to ask him if he was willing to participate in the next stage of what I'm doing. So I emailed him asking him, and he writes back, sorry, my circumstances have changed. And I was like, okay, that either means that you're married or it means that you're not from. And like, I'm not sure which one it is. So I was like, that sounds great. I probably could still use your help. Are you willing? Are you still willing to help out? Like, I didn't care if he was married. I still wanted his help. And he wrote, no, thank you. Right. So that kind of thing where like, it was a struggle, but now you're on the other side of it. How are you relating to it? You're like, I'm over it. Yo, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. I'm over it. Right. Is that how we, how are we supposed to relate? Okay. I'm kind of giving away the punchline, especially because I named this Jews Don't Get Over It. Okay. So you know where this is going, but let's actually get there together. Okay. So let's jump into the Haggadah. And again, the Haggadah is this like fascinating thing that we don't pay enough attention to because we already know what it says. Right. And this is always our problem in Yiddishkeit all the time, which is that like, we don't let ourselves be surprised by things because we know it's coming because we're like in our 20s or our 30s and we've been doing this for a long time. Right. So when you're looking at the Haggadah, several extremely weird things should pop out at you as soon as you pick up Magid. Okay, so again, we always go into Magid. Let's go into Magid. Two extremely weird things should literally like slap you in the face as soon as you open it. If the mitzvah of this is supposed to be Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the weird thing that happens when we open up the Haggadah? What are the weirdest parts of the Haggadah if you're trying to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim?
It doesn't start with that.
Okay, which part doesn't start with that? Magid?
Magid or the beginning.
Or the beginning of the Seder.
Right.
Good, okay, good. So, Bruch, I think what you're like... feeling on is that Magi doesn't start like it, but it doesn't even ever really get there, right? It's like these disjointed pieces. It sort of goes there. It's not a narrative. If you're trying to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know what I would have done if I was the Baal Haggadah? What would I have done? What would you have done? If you were the Baal Haggadah, if you were trying to compile a Haggadah for all generations to use when they're kind of trying to fulfill their mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night, what would you have done? Where would you have gone?
Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right, to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Shmos Vayir Bo B'Shalach, right? Or at least half of B'Shalach. Right, so we have four great parshios. I would have tried to abridge those. And that's not really what the Baal Haggadah does. He starts with Halach Ma'ania, we do the four right sons and whatever, and we go on and on. And fine, we'll talk about what he actually does, where he does quote that. But he also leaves out or changes a whole bunch of really important parts of the story, the most jarring of which is what? You guys know this, you just don't even know that you know it because you know it already. Whose name does not feature in the Haggadah at all?
Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu, right? If you're exactly right. If you were reading that for the first time, you're like, you just told me that I have a mitzvah to retell Harry Potter, but you want me to do it leaving out Harry Potter. That's what this is. Retell the whole story of Harry Potter, but don't talk about Harry Potter. Talk about like Hogwarts and like the salvation of the wizarding world, but like leave out Harry Potter, okay? So again, I just have to like hound this home. The other part of it is also that if you look at Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the story that's told in the Haggadah, they are different in several different ways. The most jarring of which, we spoke about this, and I'm not going to hold you guys to it, but we spoke about this the last Pesach share we had on campus in the Berlin's house. Remember this? With the basic piece that's missing, that is, again, the most jarring if we're not used to seeing it in the Haggadah, is what part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that takes up the most screen time in the Torah, so to speak? Is that like even a phrase that makes any sense to say?
The Makos.
The Makos, right? The Makos are literally, like, if you go into the illustrated Haggadahs, they have to, like, make dump a whole page because, like, that's it. We just go Makos, we go like this. Dump Svardia, Kinim Arav, Devar, Shkwin, Barad, and that's it, okay? This is how it looks in the Torah. Perek Aleph starts with, like, some psukim about just, like, kind of context and who's there, okay? Then there's 15 psukim about how Bnei Yisrael are in trouble in Mitzrayim. Then the rest of Perek Beis and the rest of Perek Gimel is all about Moshe, so we skip all of that. Perek Gimel has one pasuk about Bnei Yisrael being in trouble, and the rest of it is about Moshe and being sent in the Sinai and all that. Okay, Dalet is completely skipped also, because that's also about Moshe. Hey, we have another 20 pasukim about Bnei Yisrael. When Moshe comes and then Paro makes this stuff harder on them. Okay, we have another 20 pasukim about Bnei Yisrael having a hard time. So that, again, references to that feature in the Haggadah. So right now we're up to 36 pasukim alone, and we've skipped in all of Perek Beis, all of Perek Gimel, all of Perek Beis, most of Perek Gimel, all of Perek Dalet, and part of Perek Hay. Okay, then Perek Vav has another 5 psukim that feature how hard it is, and then we skip Zion, Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph. We skip all those prakim, and we sum it up in Dam Tzvarei Kinim Arav Devar Shkin Barar Aruach Hoshech. Again, we're like, we're skipping everything about Moshe. Right? We're like, what's going on? And then we get back into the story with like Yud-Gimel, half of Yud-Gimel, Yud-Dalet, and half of Tes-Vav, which are like Hashem saving them and Az Yashir. And then the Haggadah kind of closes and we miss, you know, the rest of basically the story of Shemos that continues on. So we're like, what is going on over here? Does it not say Moshe because they don't want us to think that Moshe was the one who did everything? Exactly, good. So Eliana, you're exactly right, right? It's not saying Moshe because they don't want us to think that Moshe was the one who did everything, not Hashem. Exactly, right? That is the lesson of the Haggadah. And every other time we talked about, which isn't super frequently, but other times that we spoke about this kind of jarring discrepancy between Sefer Shemos and the Haggadah, we focused on the salvation. And obviously that's what it wants us to do. Eliana, you're absolutely right, right? Like, it wants us to focus on the fact that it was Hashem who saved us. That's the clear theme of the Haggadah. Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf, right? It's Hashem saying again and again, it's me. Don't make this mistake, people, right? Like, it's definitely me who's doing it. For sure. And don't get confused with Moshe. Don't get confused with anything else. And the Makos aren't like really the point, right? The point of the Haggadah is much more. The Shibud, which is focused on in the Haggadah way more than it is in Shemos, and the salvation, which parts of it are focused on more in the Haggadah, or at least equally in the Haggadah. Okay, so again, interestingly, and again, we just need to know this. Hold on a second. Let me go to this source sheet for a second. Okay, the Baal Haggadah does quote something. He quotes the Torah summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is interesting to know. Okay, sorry, let me just stop this here for a second. The Baal Haggadah doesn't make up a summary of Aleph through Tesvav, right? The first 15 prakim of Shmos. He doesn't make up his summary. He goes to the Torah summary. The Torah itself provides us with a summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is inaccurate, so to speak, in the same way that the Haggadah is inaccurate. And this is really fascinating. I didn't really notice that until this year. Okay, so again, we talked about how there is a, like, literally a tangible amount of psukim that I can count, okay? I counted 46. I'm sure that other, 41. I'm sure that there could be different counts. But there are around 41 psukim that talk about Bnei Israel having a hard time. And then there's prakim upon prakim, beis, gimel, dalet, tesor, like, go on and on and on and on and on about the rest of the salvation. And here it is. Here's the Torah summary of itself. It's the Torah's summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which you say once you're safe and sound in Eretz Yisrael, and you are happy that you're safe and sound in Eretz Yisrael, and you're no longer a slave, and you go to the Kohen, and you bring your first fruits again, and you say this. And you basically summarize the history of Bnei Yisrael. And you say this, Va'anisa, Va'amarta l'fnei Hashem elokecha. You should say before Hashem, and you'll recognize these words because they're all in the Haggadah. This is the basis of the Haggadah, of the Baal Haggadah. He took the Torah's own summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Arami Ovid Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim, Vayagar Hashem Bim Seima'at, Vahisham Lagoy Gadol Atzum V'Rav. So that's kind of like introductory, right? They went down to Mitzrayim through whatever circumstances, and they lived there, and there were a lot. So that's like, is that good or bad? It's kind of parv, right? It's like not saying good stuff or bad stuff. Vayereyu Asanu HaMitzrayim, Vayanunu, Vayitnu Elinu Avodakasha. Okay, so that's a whole one pasuk about how badly we were treated. Another pasuk all about how really, really bad it was. Then we have, so that was in the bold. Then we have the switch. And Hashem took us out with a lot of great stuff. And he brought us here, and he gave us really good land, and here the first of my fruits. So we get a grand total of 4 psukim, summarizing all of those first 15 prakim of Shmos. And fascinatingly, it is not proportional to Shmos, to the story in Shmos. Because then you would have had probably one pasuk about how bad it was, and you would have had at least 3 or 4 that talked about all the great stuff that Hashem did. And we don't see that balance here. We see 2 that talk about how hard it was, 1 that talks about Hashem saving us, and this I was really charitable to underline it because I really probably shouldn't have underlined it. That Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael and gave us really beautiful land. That's not really the focus of the Haggadah. And it's not really the focus of Shmos. Okay, so again, otherwise, and like Eliana said, usually when we talk about this, we talk about the part that stresses the salvation. This time, I want to talk about this part that stresses the struggle a little bit more even than we see it in the story of Shmos. Okay, what is going on? What's our relationship with that? And I want to press this point a little bit by showing you how it shows up in the Haggadah itself, okay? Because again, the Haggadah primarily, like Eliana's saying, stresses Hashem's salvation. But there are several strange things that happen in the Haggadah, or so to speak, that hint to us that the struggle itself is something that's important to look at, right? Which is what Bracha started by saying, right? Which is that the Haggadah doesn't start by talking about the story. It starts with this. Maggid, at least, starts with this. When we're starting to tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we start with this funny phrase. Halach ma'anya diachlu avasana ba'aradis dimitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction. It was bad. We start with that, right? This is the matzah. It was bad. And then we have this funny phrase. Hashata avde. We're still slaves. L'shana haba b'nei chorin. I hope we're free next year. Which again, we're not going to go into any of this parish, but we see from the onset that slavery is something we're supposed to be relating to in the Haggadah. The Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim in a certain way starts with slavery. And look at how it basically ends, or how it basically concludes. All the way when we're done telling the story and going into those psukim and bikurim and you know, fleshing them out with all sorts of psukim from around the Torah, not only Sefer Shmos, right? We have this phrase, which basically is like concluding before we do the, you know, the korech and all that. Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer. Rabban Gamliel used to say, Ko shalo omer shlosha dvarim elu, bepesach lo yatsa yedecho baso. There are three things that you have to say. There are three things that you have to say and that you have to do if you want to like complete your chov, if you want to like actually be frum on Pesach. And what are they? Pesach, matzah, and maror. And what are Pesach, matzah, and maror? Is this not fascinating? They are commemorating which part of the struggle salvation cycle? Our symbolic requirements on Pesach remember the slavery, not the salvation. For sure matzah, for sure maror, and even Pesach, they did the Karban Pesach when they were not yet free. They were still in Mitzrayim. It was their symbolic extrication of themselves from the culture of Mitzrayim, and then Hashem redeemed them. Is that fascinating? So like the chov is to remember the slavery and also the salvation for sure. But we can't forget the salvation does not, I mean, the struggle does not get swallowed up in the salvation. You don't struggle and then you get saved and then you get over it. That doesn't really seem to be what's going on here. And let's hound this even further, okay? Based on the mitzvos that we see in the Torah are linked to Yetzias Mitzrayim, okay? And Eliana, that's what you were saying before, right, about Shabbos. So that's going to be one of the main ones. Anyone know? Anyone know which mitzvos are linked to Yetzias Mitzrayim? By the way, I think more than anything else, again, more than any other part of history of Bnei Yisrael, historic happenstance, right? Like there are tons of mitzvahs. I actually tried to find a number count, and all I found, I like Googled it. I was trying to find it. I don't have a number count. It's definitely a lot. All I found was a sheet on Sfaria that was like, I'm going to list all the mitzvahs that are Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, except that actually I'm probably not going to be able to. So like, I'm not really done with this and I should always be adding to it. And then that was it. I'm like, can you add to it? Who knows? I don't know. Anyone knows the answer to that? That'd be great. But anyone know what mitzvos off the top of our head are Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim in some way?
A lot of the ones about like treating people such as like orphans and widows properly are linked to our slavery, I think.
Awesome. Good, right? So that, V'ahavta mes hager, is the most repeated mitzvah in the Torah. It is repeated, anyone know how many times? That you should love the ger or treat the ger well. 36 times, okay? It is the most repeated mitzvah in the Torah. And that is, I learned that from Mrs. Bloom, Dr. Bloom, and that is linked to, like Ayala says, again and again, very frequently, that is linked to us having been slaves in Eretz Mitzrayim. Good, what else? Eliana said Shabbos, so she's right about that, right? We have two justifications of Shabbos, one Briyasa Olam and one Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Eliana was mischav into the Yetzias Mitzrayim one. What else? You're like, I don't know, dude, just show me the source sheet. You had to look this up. Okay, good. Here, ready? Here we go. Okay, firstly, belief in Hashem, for people who hold that that's a mitzvah, if it's a very important one. We're supposed to believe in Hashem because he took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the justification for belief in God. Okay, here's Shabbos. Show more to Shabbos, the cut joke, etc., etc. Sorry, these two I left off the source, but they're in Dvarim. It was an accident, they left out the source. Okay, v'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa ba'aretz Mitzrayim, v'yotziach ha'shem l'kecha misham b'yad chazak v'bizrona tuya. Al kein tzivcha ha'shem l'kecha la'asos es yom ha'shabbos. That's pretty explicit. You were in Mitzrayim, Hashem took you out. That's why he told you to do the Shabbos. By the way, this is, again, not everything. This is just what I got from cobbling together a bunch of sources and looking in a concordancia for quite a while trying to find some of these. Okay? Peter Rechem, which is the mitzvah that you have to redeem the first of your animal's whatever crops, what do you call those, firstborn, whatever, especially chamor, I think it's just petra chamor, I'm not sure if there's other animals too. Okay, ready, here we go, here, vayakish alcha ben chamachar lema ramazos, by the way, that's the question of the tum, right, vayomer 11, you should say to him, b'chuzak yad hotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, b'esabadim, why are you doing this, because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, tefillin, vayalachal os al yadcha lezikaran ben enecha, why, ki b'yadcha zaka hotziacha Hashem in Mitzrayim, here we go, fairness in business is linked to Mitzrayim. And again, you could do a peirush on all of these and whatever. Okay, here's more where Ayala was talking about the treatment of the ger. Ger lo sona velo telchatzenu. You should not oppress him. You should not cause him pain. Here's another one about the ger. Here's another one about the ger. Okay, so all three of them are here. And there's another one later. By the way, this is interesting. I didn't know that it says this. Ki yagur itcha ger ba'artzacham lo sonu oso ke'ezrach michem yelacham hager v'hagar itcham v'ahavta lo kamocha. Did you know that it says that about the ger? It says v'ahavta lo reyacha kamocha, and also about the ger, it says v'ahavta lo kamocha. You should love a ger like yourself. How well are we doing in that mitzvah in B'nai Yisrael? Ki gerim ha'yisim eretz Mitzrayim. V'ahavta mes hager ki gerim ha'yisim eretz Mitzrayim. There we have it again, and again, and again, and again. Treatment of the slave, okay? So again, you have to send him free. Ha'anik ta'anik lo, meitzoncha. You have to give him support, basically, when you set your slave free. V'zacharta ki ever ha'yisim eretz Mitzrayim. Givtecha Hashem al-kecha. Al-kein anochi mitzavcha sedavar hazeh hayom. You were slaves. I set you free. That's why I'm telling you to do this. Treatment of the underdog in general, like Ayala was saying, lo sona mishpat ger, v'yasom, v'lo sachbol, beget halmana, v'zacharta, ki ever ha'yisim in Mitzrayim, v'yiftecha, shem alkecha misham, akin anochi mitzavcha, lasos et davar hazeh. That's why I'm telling you to do this. Charity in general, that you have to leave over from your field, you have to leave over from your grapevine. V'zacharta, ki ever ha'yisim in Mitzrayim, akin anochi mitzavcha, lasos et davar hazeh. Remember that? We see this again and again. Very clearly, Hashem's like, that's why I was telling you to do this. Treatment of the ger, again, sorry, I had to do it. Very, very clear, and this one is a little bit more poignant. The ger lo tilchat, don't oppress the ger. V'atem yedatem es nefesh ager, because you know what it's like. Ki gerim hayisem ba'aretz Mitzrayim. Don't forget, you were also slaves. Okay, did anyone catch any distinction between, there were actually two columns there, and they were different from each other. Did anyone catch the distinction between the two of them? I read them as all as if they were all just links back to Mitzrayim, but there was a difference in the kind of links that go back. Anyone notice that? You're like, nope, you read that too fast. Okay, here, ready? The ones in the right column link back to Mitzrayim because Hashem took you out. Asher otzisi chameres mitzrayim beis avadim. B'yad chazako b'zorna tuya. Oh, sorry. V'zachar teki evra yisa b'aretz mitzrayim. V'yotziach ha'ashem al-kecha misham. B'yad chazako b'zorna tuya. B'yad chazako hotziyinu ha'ashem mitzrayim beis avadim. Ki b'yad chazako hotziach ha'ashem mitzrayim. Asher otzisi es chameres mitzrayim. And the second one, sometimes they're both. Like that middle one was both. Shabbos is both. Gerim. Ki gerim ha'yisim b'aretz mitzrayim. I don't care that you got out. What you learned is that you were in it. It's not linked to the salvation. The right column is linked to the salvation. The left column is linked to the struggle. Ki gerim ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. Ki gerim ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. Ki gerim ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. V'zacharta ki eved ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. Ki eved ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. V'zacharta ki eved ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. V'atem yedatem es nefesh ha'ger. Ki gerim ha'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. Some of the, and there are many of these, and these are just some examples that I was able to conjure up enough to put into a chart, right? There are some mitzvot that we do that link to Yetzias Mitzrayim because we were saved. And I think if we weren't paying attention, we would think that most mitzvot that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim are because we were saved. But some mitzvot are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim because we were in it lechatchila. And all, so to speak, despite the salvation, we learned something from the struggle. And often we say, we struggled, and despite this struggle, we came out better people. And it's not. It's we struggled, and despite the salvation, we came out better people. The salvation didn't undo what the struggle had done to us. And we see, again, just from the mitzvos commemorating Mitzrayim, that in this cycle of struggle and salvation, there's something that's supposed to be changing in us from the struggle. We don't only remember the salvation and thank Hashem for that, even though we think that that's what we're like focused on remembering. But there's something about the struggle itself, right? That is supposed to be doing something to us that lasts, despite the salvation. We don't really care about the salvation in those mitzvos. We care about the fact that we struggled. Salvation is irrelevant, whether or not we happen to be saved or not. Okay. What's the colloquial term for this in Hebrew? What's the term for
integration?
Integration. Okay, good. So that's not in Hebrew. That's like a good psychological term for it. Meaning what? I yell it. I yell it. You're on mute if you're saying something. Oh, no. Okay. Well, she'll explain it later. So integration, I have to think about that. It's making me pause and have to think. What's the Hebrew colloquial term for when you go through something and it makes you a better person from the struggle and not from the salvation? Carrie?
Can I say the psychology? Yeah. Like post-traumatic growth?
Hmm. Fascinating. Post-traumatic growth. Okay, what do you mean by that? Give us a little one-line shot.
Like you go through something and through that, I'm saying it's basically what you've been saying. You go through something and through that, you like that's the catalyst for growth.
For growth. Okay, awesome. Good. So that's interesting. Let's keep that on the back burner because I wonder how this fits and if it does fit. So I think the Hebrew colloquial term for this concept, and you're all gonna be like, oh yeah, I recognize that, is Kor Habarza, right? Which is a reference to Eretz Mitzrayim. Right? And it's the very famous, there's a pasuk that calls Mitzrayim a Kor Habarzel. It's not just a fluffy concept or whatevs. No offense to fluffy concepts, right? But we have this series, this psukim in Devarim. Penti sayinecha hashamayma. It's interesting. I never knew what it was linked to. You shouldn't look at the sky. Var isas hashemesh b'seireach v'kaisa kochavim kol tzva hashamayim v'nidachcha v'ishtachcha v'izalahem v'avadatem asher cholak hashem elokecha elsam l'chol ha'amim tachas kol hashamayim. You shouldn't look at the sun and the stars and be like, wow, look, they're in charge of so much. Like, they dictate so much of life. They're so powerful. I'm going to bow down to them. Okay? And then, why not? Or I don't know. Is it an answer to the why not? Or just like the next pasuk says the Kor Habarzel line. Ve'eschem l'kach Hashem, v'yotzi eschem mikor habarzo. And you, Hashem, took you out of that fiery furnace, mi Mitzrayim, called Mitzrayim, lios lo la'am nachala kayom hazeh, to be his nation until this day. Okay, so that's the Kor Habarzo line. Very famously, right, Kor Habarzo is like a furnace that you put a metal in it. None of us have any idea what this is talking about because we haven't seen it. Has anyone ever seen this? I've seen like glass blowers. I kind of wish I saw a Kor Habarzo thing. I'm reading like a book about it right now that's like kind of talking about it. I'm like, this is kind of cool. Right, but apparently, if you want to make metal, not like any of us make metal, we just use like our. This is a pen, but I was pretending it's a fork. Okay, so like we use metal stuff, but we don't know how to make metal stuff. But apparently, if you have an impure metal and you put it in super hot stuff, it turns into better stuff. Okay, so you put metal that's impure into fire, and the fire makes it more pure. Okay, that's the concept of the Kor Habarzel. Very nice. Okay. So again, that's the concept that we always talk about, which is that, no. In your struggle, and again, I'm not trying to be like saying it lightly. In your struggle, there's something to learn from that, okay? So I think that the difficulty that I used to have with that, or slash the insight that I have to this that concept after, you know, basically doing research and trying to figure this out for this chabura, is that it always felt to me, and again, this is, I think I was primed to think about this because of our Bitechon Chabura too, right? Which is that oftentimes when we're in a struggle, and if you say to somebody who's in slavery, it's a Kor Habarzel. It's okay. It's making you a better person. It doesn't really land with our experience of our own reality, right? And I think that we kind of see that from Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Because at the same time that this psukim called Mitzrayim the Kor Habarzel, this like furnace that makes Bnei Yisrael more pure and refines them and makes them better. At the same time, we have all these midrashim that were like, Bnei Yisrael were a mem tesh sharei tuma. And they were on the 49th level. And boy, they just stepped over that precipice. They would have been lost forever. And God had to rush in there and pull them out. Because, oh boy, they were getting worse. Right, we don't really say about Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, both in our Midrashim and also in the Haggadah and also in Sefer Shmos. It doesn't feel like or look like they were getting better when they were there. It looked like a process very clearly of them getting worse. They started with the Shvatim and they ended with Moshe having to save them and Hashem having to save everybody. Right? So again, I think like when we look just at the Kor Habarzel concept, it feels sort of pressuring and very bracketed. Like while you're struggling, you're supposed to be feeling like you're in a process of refinement. And that's not really how it feels. And that's also not the story that we get about Bnei Yisrael. But if we look at Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of the cycle of struggle and salvation, and then we see for the rest of Torah, especially in Devarim, when Moshe is trying to hound into Bnei Yisrael the lessons that he wants them to learn for the rest of time, the way that Yetzias Mitzrayim is back referenced is that after the salvation, the struggle still means something. The struggle still changed them, even after the salvation. The struggle stayed with them in a way that it changed who they were after the salvation, and not necessarily when they were in it themselves. And that concept to me was like very powerful. And if you look at the Mefarshim on Korah Barzal, many of them say that, right? It's not necessarily this Korah Barzal thing of like, when you're going through the struggle salvation cycle and you're in the struggle cycle, boy, you'd better be being refined right then. But part of the process of refinement is who we become after our salvation, right? And Carrie, this is like a lot in response to me thinking about your questions, which is like, we're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We believe in salvation. We believe that there will be a salvation for all of us. And in a certain way, our relationship with our struggle is our commitment to who we are on the other side of our salvation. That when we get to the other side of our salvation, we are going to be different because of this struggle. And we're setting ourselves up for that lechatchila. And again, like for just one second, you look at the Mefarshim who talk about this. Here's a few. Again, I didn't read all of them, obviously. I'll do them outside, right? But Aksav Vakabola talks about, again, this Jewish people, as gold is purified in a crucible. That's what slavery in Egypt was. And he talks about the fact that it makes us humble, basically. Had Bnei Yisrael just been privileged and had Hashem just taken them smack into Eretz Yisrael, they would have been these like privileged snobs, basically. And they had to go through slavery so that they were compassionate. And that works very well, like Ayala said, with all of the mitzvot that are linked to the slavery piece of it, are obviously ones that call upon us to understand the hard experiences of other people. Okay? Oopsies, that's the wrong thing. A. McDevor has a little bit of a different thing, right? And again, just to say it outside, it was that basically the slavery taught us like absolute dependence. He says Korah Barzal is just like it's a colloquialism to say it was really bad. And why was it so bad? Because they were completely dependent on somebody else. But Bnei Yisrael need to learn that. We need to learn complete dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it's all those things of like, that's after the salvation. It was teaching us something for after the salvation. Okay? Now I'm actually going to skip Rav Hirsch. I love Rav Hirsch. But it's like, it's a little bit like, it's a little bit of a side note. Actually, I'll do it for 5 seconds. I'll do it outside. But Rav Hirsch has a section in the beginning of Chorib where he classifies the mitzvos. And where this is classified, it's classified in Rav Hirsch, the Korah Barzal statement. Rav Hirsch classifies as a mitzvah. And it's fascinating where he puts it as a mitzvah. So Rav Hirsch talks about toros, which are basically hashkafos. His first section of Chorib are what he calls toros. And toros, he basically are perspectives. Perspective, correct, I'll just read it. Instructions or doctrines, the historically revealed ideals concerning God, the world, the mission of humanity and Israel, not as mere doctrines of faith or science, but as principles to be acknowledged by mind and heart and realized in life. They're hashkafos, they're mitzvos that require us to think about the world in a certain way. And this Korah HaBarzal statement, and again, the pasuk right before it, according to Rav Hirsch, is the mitzvah of basically Avodas Hashem. He calls it self-appraisal, looking at yourself and knowing your own value as an Eved Hashem. And that's why he says it's right after the sun and the stars, that you shouldn't look at the sun and stars and be like, look, if I had that much power, if I had that much whatever, I would be doing a good job. But like, look at me, what am I really worth here? He says, no. It's this comparison of the sun and the stars to the Korah HaBarzal teaches you that no matter what you're going through, you have value in God's world. That is the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to look at ourselves in that way. There is no more effective protection against the danger of deifying the creature than a proper self-appraisal, than being completely permeated with the consciousness of your own task in life. If you feel yourself to have been born only for enjoyment or suffering, then indeed you will bend the knee to everything that dazzles you with its power. If, however, you feel yourself to have been assigned by God to the station in which you were born in order to execute His will at just that post, again, right, this is ringing of bitachon, you believe that God puts you in your place, even if it's a Korah Barzal, for a reason, because you have something to do there, right? In that circle, with those means, in that space of time, and for that part of His world, were your task only that of a blade of grass, then with the consciousness and the spirit, you stand on a level with the most brilliant, most gifted creatures. In that consciousness, you see all creatures on your level, all performing the task assigned to them by God. All servants round the throne of God, and the foremost servant is man, charged with fulfilling God's will consciously and freely. You believe that God is your educator, right? Your guide and your shepherd are two words that Rehearsh uses in this context, and he puts you in the world for a reason. And the Kor HaBarzel thing, and the irony is that, okay, that was a good pun. The irony of the Kor HaBarzel is that often when we're in it, it doesn't feel like we have that value at all. And looking at both what the Haggadah teaches us and what the broader picture of the mitzvos of Yetzias Mitzrayim generally in the Torah teaches us is that sometimes what we learn for our struggle is who we will be and who we want to be after the salvation. So again, not to come up with a shidduch crisis again, but I'm sure I told most of you the story. When I was dating myself, I vehemently was trying to change the systems of dating. I thought they were ridiculous. And I said to one of my mentors at the time, I said to him, this is so dumb. Like, I can't believe we do this. We have to change something. And he says, everyone says that. And everyone says it until they get out of it. And then they all stop trying to change it because it worked for them. And I said to him, literally these words, I'm not going to do that. And I totally did for like 7 years until I met Sarah Fuchs. And the rest of you on this call. And she was like, we're writing an article about this, right? Good. So like until literally it smacked me in the face again, I was exactly one of those people where like I struggled and I had salvation and I forgot all about it. And I didn't care. I didn't care about what I'd gone through. I didn't care what other people were going through. And like this helped me set a certain tone of meaning in struggle. That trying to feel like we are being refined by the struggle is often a task that is well beyond us. And it doesn't feel like that. And that's okay. But sometimes, some of the things that we learn in our struggle, one of the things that we learn in our struggle, or some of the meaning that we can get in the struggle that we're in is, I am going to be on the other side of this. Because we're Maminim Ben Maminim, and I believe in Hashem's salvation. And I'm going to decide now who I'm going to be on that other side. And when we're lost for ideas, empathy is a good place to turn. Because that's what we see in those mitzvos again and again and again. Right? In those mitzvos in the Torah, v'ahavtem es hager, ki geirim hayisim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? And again, especially that one, this one. V'ger lo tilchatz v'atem yadatem es nefesh hager, ki geirim hayisim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? It's beautiful. Tem da'at es nefesh hager, you know what it's like. And you differ on the other. Okay, so the matter there also is skills of struggle and shit, maybe in or maybe not. Eliana said, certainly the cry of the Haggadah is that Hashem will save us, and that is what we believe also. And part of the general message of all of this is that when we're on the other side, who do we want to be because of who we are on this side, where we are right now?